It has some symbolic value for us. The theme of the message today, passing the torch of faith. We've witnessed a happening here that will be remembered by these dear families who were in church today. And in the years to come, you will refer back to one day long ago, the beautiful little Spanish-styled church there by the great ocean in Cocoa Beach. That is the day when I made my decision. Passing the torch of faith. Psalm 22, verses 22 through 31. Here's the story I'll tell my friends when they come to worship and punctuate it with hallelujahs. Shout hallelujah, you God worshippers! Give glory, you sons of God! Adore Him, you daughters of Israel! He has never let you down, never looked the other way when you were being kicked around. He has wandered off to do His own thing. He has never wandered off to do His own thing. He has been right there, listening. Here in this great gathering for worship, I have discovered this praise life. And I will do what I promised right here in front of the God worshippers. Down and out there sit at God's table and eat their fill. Everyone on the hunt for God is here, praising Him. Live it up from head to toe. Don't ever quit. From the four corners of the earth, people are coming to their senses, are running back to God. Long lost families are falling on their faces before Him. God has taken charge. From now on, He has the last word. All the power mongers are before Him worshiping. All the poor and powerless too, worshiping. Along with those who never got it together, worshiping. Our children and their children will get in on this as the word is passed along from parent to child. Babies not yet conceived will hear the good news that God does what He says. Here ends our scripture reading. May it be that as we hear scripture being read, that we will become aware that it is through scripture that God has spoken to us and to our parents and their parents, so that finally we could discover God in our own lives through Jesus Christ. You can imagine now a grandmother and a mother and a child, and the three of them are in the same room. And then finally the little boy got a little bit antsy, you know how they get. And when she couldn't control him, she said, "Every time you're naughty, I get another gray hair." Little guy looked up, he said, "Gee, Mom, you must have been quite a terror when you were young. Just look at Grandma." there was also the husband who didn't have a very happy marriage. Many quarrels with his wife. So one day late when he came back from work, he found that his little young son with the name of Ronnie was sitting looking real forlorn. He had his little head in his hands and looking into the distance. "What's wrong, Ronnie?" Dad shook him a bit. "What's wrong, my son?" Silence. After a while, Dad, "What's up, man?" "Well, Just between you and me, Dad, I can't get along with your wife either. Family relations, when they're good, they're good. When they're not good, God help our poor children. Listen again what the Bible said in our reading. Our children and their children will get in on this as the word is passed along from parent to child. Babies not yet conceived will hear the good news that God does what He says. That's exactly what bothered King David. I do not know how well you remember the history of King David, but he was a naughty boy at times. He had not only a girlfriend, but she was a married woman. So he got a good idea. He's the king. He's the king. So he gave one of his commanders an order. Get that guy. Get her husband. Take him off to war. Be sure that he's killed. We know the history. Once the man was killed in the battlefield, the king was okay. Took her as one of his wives. And by doing that, he lost the favor of his God. And he was the unhappiest person in the world. And you can read the Psalms. We call it is the days of redemption for David, where he finally was weeping out aloud before God. Read Psalm 51. Read how a broken heart gets redeemed. But something happened between David and his God. Something happened. And then, finally, he spoke about his family, his children, and their children. Because he knew, my death is coming near. My time is approaching. And he knew the king, this was after a long sickbed. He knew that he almost died just a short while ago. And then he was thinking by himself, but if my children live on, if they remember who I was, if they carry with them the essence of what my life meant after I got reconciled with God, if my kids will not only get from Grandpa the bad and the naughty things that I did, but if my kids would rather get Grandpa's God, then they'll be okay. My children live on. If they remember who I was, may they see God through me. They carry with them the essence of what my life meant. And David then said, my God, do me this last favor. Take care of my kids and their kids. And I won't be afraid to die. That's what the Bible says. Nobody wants to die, but if you have to, death comes easier if children who will carry your name and your generation into the future, when they will surround you, your name carried into the future. Not your name, God's name. This is what the Bible said this morning when we read. Our children And their children will get in on this as the word is passed along from parent to child. And then just listen to this. That's our text for the morning. Babies not yet conceived will then hear the good news that God does what God says. So somehow, with his sins washed away, because he knew that God had forgiven him the terrible things that he did, David says, "Now, God, that it's okay between you and me, I want my children and their children, after all, to forget all my weaknesses of the past. And when they speak of me, O God, I want them to say, Grandpa, Grandma was on the right track." And then they will try to mold their lives after ours. And then they will march into the future of God. He wants posterity to hear about what he went through and then to tell others about his testimony. That is why he wrote this psalm. I came across a little joke, and I was surprised when I saw it, because, you know, culture is a funny thing. This is the third culture that I've served in my life. And we had many sayings and jokes and funny things, and I'm still getting more than I welcome. Emails from Africa with all the funniest jokes in Afrikaans. And then on the other day, in the same day mixed, I get an equal number of funny jokes circulating currently in the Netherlands, in Dutch. And that reminds me of my background in the two countries that I served before as a minister. And so that's why I always say to people, English is really my third language. And it is. And even now this morning, I tried to speak without a manuscript, but now they've given me a fancy microphone, and they say, "You don't have to be stuck to one microphone," and now I'm in trouble because I have to go back. But let me tell you why I'm telling you all this. Because in America, the joke sounds like this. It says, "Mark Twain put it this way. When I was 16, I could not believe how dumb and even stupid my dad was. Now I'm 21. I could not believe how much the old guy had learned in just 5 years. Isn't that true? Isn't that the story of the generations? Don't we often think back about how strict our parents were? How they gave us a hard time? And in those days, we could still get spanked. Nowadays, you go to prison if you're prison for you. Boy, was tough. And later in our lives, when we found that we were in the dens of iniquity, when we found that God had forsaken us and that we don't pray no more and that we don't care no more, then we remember, then we think back, and then we become the prodigal son. Oh, I've sinned, my God. Oh, I've sinned. It's time for me to go home. It's time for me to go back. I want to be like Grandpa. I want to be like Grandma. They punished me when I was a kid. But my God, they knew their God. That's what the generations are all about. That's what you saw this morning when these men and when these women saw their children and their grandchildren. They were praising God in their hearts because somehow, something of the past generations had stuck. And somehow, you know, when you lay your head down one day, that you've done your thing for your kid. And now you can hope about the future. And don't worry. When I tell myself I'm getting old, full 70, no long. How much longer, oh God? How much longer? Then I looked at my grandchild, who became a member in the first service. And I heard her. And I knew. Don't worry about being 70, boy. Don't worry. God will live on in the next generation. And that's what I want to tell you. God will live on through you. And that makes our task as grandparents and as parents so very, very important. Because we hope that our future generations will continue our pilgrimage of life. I wish you could hear some of the discussions that Coleman and I had about this confirmation class. I wish you could see us wrestle with the questions that we asked this morning. We didn't take it from a book, we wrote it on our knees. Because I know if we give our kids the impression that they've come to the end of the journey, now they're now Christians, they can put their church clothes away and they've passed the final test and confirmation is the examination. Because in the olden days, I had an average of 40 confirmation kids in every class, 16-year-olds. And I'm telling you today that 85% of them never even thought back to the pledges that they made that day when they first said in front of the church, in front of the world, Jesus Christ is my Savior and God is my God. So we wrestled. How do we write this? How do we write this in what we tell our children this morning? You done and finish? Rubber stamp. Okay, Christian, next. No, sir. No, sir. This pulpit, when I leave, will be empty until someone of the next generation fills it. Your place will be empty with your dreams and your hopes and your ideals that you always had for yourself. Because sometimes you look back and you remember your dreams when you were young yourself. I was going to be so big. I was going to be so important. I'm going to be a president. I'm going to be this. I'm going to be a doctor. I'm going to be an architect. And I have so many hopes and dreams. And then suddenly they sing happy birthday and you're 70 years old. And then you do what I did in the last few days, every time on my knees. You say, oh God, am I done? Was this it? Did I fulfill my dreams? Oh, no. No. Did I ever become the person that I had hoped to be, that I had promised to be? Oh God, forgive me. How often was I in the mud with King David before my God and saying, my God, I have failed you. But you picked me up. You picked me up every time. And that's all I want for my kids. That's all I want for my grandkids. That one day, 50 years after we are gone, the current generation, that the next generation will say, Grandma and Grandpa with their silver hair, taught me the way to meet my Savior and my God. And we will carry you to your grave like we did with Merle and Irma yesterday. And your future generation will call you blessed because you gave them God. Oh, I would rather have Jesus than silver and gold. I would rather have Jesus than riches untold. Because that's all. That's all I can leave for my kids that will not perish, that will not be destroyed. Amen. Let us pray. O God, hear us now as we, your people, come before you in prayer. Thank you for still loving us. We are so grateful for our experiences of your love. Thank you that we were privileged to have part of the new generation around this baptismal font this morning. Thank you that we had a new generation promising here in our midst that Jesus is their Savior and that they will move towards you, O God. Pull them. Pull them with your Holy Spirit. Keep them whole into a new generation, so that future generations may proclaim to the world that you are God. And 1 minute in your home is better than an eternity surrounded by the riches of this world. Hear our prayer for our children and their children and their children. Hear us in Jesus' name. Amen.